Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
'Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Houston, we got a show.
Go Loopos.
Landry Locker and John Lopez, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, TGIF. Thank goodness Friday is here for many of you. A three-day weekend, which for me means three straight sleep-ins. I don't know about you, but I am very, very excited to speak with you today. There's a lot to get into. We're 111 days away from Texans versus Kansas City. Chiefs, Landry Locker, the OG John Lopez. Figgy Fig with you, J-Lo, Friday. One of the best days of the week. I think it would get at least 50% of the votes when it comes to what is the best day of the week. It would get my votes. And there's a lot to talk about today on a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610.
The best day of the week is Friday. I agree with you right there, and I agree with you. A lot to talk about today. A lot to do, man. We've got a lot of ground to cover in a short time to get there, so strap in and let's get with the radio.com app if you're out and about, and we'll take care of you, man.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It is Memorial Day weekend, which is always a fun time. Hopefully there's not too much rain. Hopefully you get to responsibly go outside and enjoy yourself. I just thought maybe we should just start this off making J-Lo comfortable. I think we need to celebrate Friday the way the OG would want to celebrate it.
How's that?
Hit the music, Figgy. I mean, this is just right here for Friday.
Let's go.
Okay.
I saw this movie, Figgy, in the theater.
Man.
I think it came out. Landry was blown away.
Thank God.
He was playing this song about an hour before the show. I walk in, and I say, that's from the movie, TGIF, Thank God It's Friday. And he looked at me like, how'd you know that? Dude, that was my jet.
How much was popcorn then?
You know who was in this movie, I believe? Let me see how much knowledge I have, and then I'll check it at the end. This was one of my favorite movies. Disco was in full swing. I was wearing my Nick Nick shirt, my polyester pants, my platform shoes.
Did you have a fish in the shoe?
If you think I'm kidding, you're mistaken. I really did. I was all about it, disco, man. And yes, and then I would go to the movies. I saw this movie, loved it. Thank God It's Friday. I believe Jeff Goldblum, this was his screen debut.
Legend.
I think he was in this movie. And I'm trying to remember who else was, but I saw it in theater. I think it came out in 1978, Landry. I think it came out in 1978. I was in high school.
You could be right.
I will double check my work here.
How much could you get a popcorn for at that time?
I think it was 50 cents.
50 cents?
Yeah.
Did you get
For the giant.
Did you get refills?
I don't remember. Oh, look at this. Thank God It's Friday movie. 1978. Now let me check the cast.
Yeah, I think we moved past that.
No, man, this is exciting for me. You said to make me comfortable. I'm comfortable.
We don't need to check the cast. No, that movie is
Jeff Goldblum.
Good? Jeff Goldblum. You know who that is, Figgy?
I do.
Who doesn't?
I have zero idea.
You know who that Jeff Goldblum is.
Zero idea.
You would know his face when you see him.
Okay.
Didn't know his name.
No idea who that is.
Come on, man. Have you not watched a movie in your entire life?
No clue who that is. Never seen him. Never.
Have you seen Independence Day?
I have.
You know the science guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Oh, okay. He's the Jurassic Park guy. There you go. Not a very bright guy in that movie, but a little over the top, a little out of control. But, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't support.
See, now you put me in a good mood.
See, there you go.
That's old school. I was 16 years old.
I might put you in an even better mood because my confusion here on a Friday continues. Clinton Show, they follow us at 2 o'clock. Clint Sterner and Ron the Show, Hugh Glee. Do you either go by the do you say your nickname and full name when you say stuff? I'm trying to figure this out.
I don't think he should introduce himself with, I'm Ron the Show, Hugh Glee.
Yeah, doesn't it sound a little bit weird when he does that? Like, shouldn't he just say,
does
I'm
he
Ron
say that?
Hugh Glee?
I've never really
Ron the Show.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hughley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Like, what? Shouldn't you pick one or the other?
I would just, you know, helpful hint because he gave you some advice, or at least he was talking about you.
He did. He did.
I would say I'm Ron Hughley. Let everybody else talk about
the show.
The show.
The show. Because it's like
it's a great nickname.
It's a good nickname, but it feels like something you got to earn.
Yeah.
You know, I call him Show. That's it. But yeah. I don't call him Ron Hughley. Like it's. I think it's either one or the other. I think you got to pick either the nickname or the thing, Ron, the Show. Hughley, he's acting like he's like introducing himself to a boxing ring or something like that. Now coming down the ring, it's 6 foot. I won't say the weight. Ron, the Show, Hughley.
That was really bad, but I get the point.
I'm just saying, though. But I'm just saying, like, you gotta go by. We call him Show, right? That's what we're going
Show.
With.
He's Show.
He's Show. That's it.
He calls you not the white unicorn.
He does. And I was not familiar with what a white unicorn was, but Clinton Show had this discussion. I think it's a very entertaining discussion. It brings up a lot of questions about myself.
You got questions?
A lot of thoughts about Clint and Ron. What in the bleep is a white unicorn? Here are Clinton Show, who you hear after us at 2 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610, talking about something I am not, apparently, allegedly, a white unicorn.
You're the white unicorn, Clint.
I got to be the old white unicorn. I can't slide down and be.
Clint, you don't know what the white unicorn is, do you? I think it's about 75 of y'all on this earth. You're one of them. The white unicorn, you all are like panda bears or polar bears, almost extinct.
Damn, pandas, polars, and unicorns. Yeah, I don't know where this is going, but I'm here. I'm here for
it. See, the white unicorn is the white guy who has the ability to pull, and when I say pull, I mean like date, to be able to date white women who have exclusively dated black guys before them.
Okay. One to pull them back, huh?
To pull them back. That's
back
hard.
Guy.
That's hard to do, okay. Right? We heard Blake Snell, white unicorn. Travis Kelce, white unicorn. Okay. Bill Clinton, white unicorn. Yeah, Channing Tatum, white unicorn. Okay. You are one of them. In fact, like, I feel like we should start the white unicorn club, the Hall of Fame, and you should be able to be the one to allow them to come in.
I'm in.
You are there. There are not a lot. There, Justin Timberlake, whoo. He's like the president of it.
I will say this, and I can't put too many details out there, but I don't want to tell no business. But my lady, she's awfully fond of 50 Cent. When I first met her, she was awfully fond of 50 Cent. And I was like, baby, I'll make you forget about that. Come on over. I'll show you a real candy shop.
It's some white women driving right now or listening right now. And I know we enjoy you listening, who date black guys who know how hard it is for them to go back.
Yeah, okay.
And guys like Clint, there's only about 75, 76 of you.
Look here, I appreciate it, I think. I think I appreciate
Landry
it.
Landry wishes he would.
Come on now.
He's got,
wow.
He's got some quality.
A little drive-by right there on Landry. There,
yeah. Wow. I enjoyed that, though. I enjoyed the actual content, the white unicorn. But I guess I'm not a white unicorn, according to Show. So I'll just let that sit a little bit. I'll let that sit a little bit.
I have it on authority that you've got some white unicorn qualities.
I don't know. I'll let that
sources
sit a little bit.
Say
I'll let that sit a little
that
bit.
You've got some white unicorn qualities.
I will let that one sit. I got to give Clint some credit though for the 250 Cent mentions on there. He mentioned candy shop and window shopping, which was extremely, extremely impressive by Clint. I got to give him some props there. White unicorn, okay.
Figgy, do you think Landry's a white unicorn?
I ain't even know what a white unicorn was, but I would probably give him the edge to say yeah.
You don't have to.
I've got sources.
You don't have to.
I've got reports.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, and let's just keep it going. It's we'll let Clint be the white unicorn. His girl though, 50 Cent, huh?
Yeah,
that's a hell of a crush.
I always say 50. Is that wrong?
No, it's cool. It's down.
Is it biased?
No, it's not biased.
Is it a race card?
No,
it's just nah.
50, okay. Whatever. Okay. There it is. So white unicorn. I enjoyed that analysis. There, I did not see Clint's girl as a 50 Cent fan.
I don't know. You never know, man.
I did not. Race car! I don't even know if it's that. I just did not see it as a 50 Cent thing. You know, I
didn't either.
Maybe more Will Smith or something like that. Like, I didn't see her as a 50
She must like
Cent.
Them gangsters.
Wasn't then. Chelsea Handler married to 50?
No, she was dating. Dating.
I thought they were married.
No, they weren't married.
They were dating?
Yeah, they were dating. Yeah. Yeah. No, not definitely not. It is a football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Wade Smith's going to join us at 1. We're just going to go around the NFL with Wade. We're going to talk to him about not playing with fans. We're going to talk to him about the very controversial reports about a contract that Dak Prescott did or didn't reject, what he thinks about that with Deshaun Watson. We'll probably have a little think tank at 12:40. Why not? We'll have a think tank. We'll have a little bit of that. We're also going to lay out an NBA playoff proposal. I have a proposal for the NBA that J-Lo might not be in favor of, but I think if you're an NBA fan, you're going to get on board with this very, very quickly. NBA looking to get back very, very soon. I have a proposal that is going to make every team a factor in the chase. It's going to give you something that you've never seen before, and it is going to be extremely interesting and make every game matter in the NBA. So keep it locked here on In the Loop. 10:40, we'll lay that out for you. Justin Reed has also been cleared to play. He talked about his former teammates. He talked about his current teammates, and he had a lot to say heading into the season. So we'll hear about from Justin Reed at 11. But coming up, you can go to sportsradio610.com and read the column about this. But a lot of the contracts Bill O'Brien has handed out, they need to play out. Regardless of how you feel about them, regardless of if you feel some type of way about them, they are going to play out. But there is one deal that Bill O'Brien tried to make that is not a good look for him, and it didn't take long for us to see how bad King Bill looked with this idea and with this attempt that he made. The curious case of El Guapo on a Football Friday next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, a lot of the moves Bill O'Brien has made have generated a lot of reaction. Say what you want about Bill O'Brien's moves, but they've been bold. Bold moves in the NFL, they generate passionate reaction. They often generate skepticism. And that's why guys like King Bill, who are GMs and coaches, get paid the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
However, in fairness, and Bill O'Brien has said this when he's met with the media during the offseason, a lot of these moves, whether it be taking on David Johnson in exchange for DeAndre Hopkins and all the money, whether it's the contract extensions of Whitney Mercilus and Kyahmi Fairbairn, or bringing in guys like Eric Murray, Randall Cobb, for what I consider
right
way above market value.
And you're not alone.
Those moves are going to play out. And we're going to be able to see how exactly they play out. However, the skepticism about whether or not Bill O'Brien has a grasp of the market as a general manager, to me, people who are skeptical about that have actual tangible proof.
Mm-hmm.
And it has played out in a very short time during the offseason. I present to you, J-Lo, the curious case of El Guapo, known by his government, Carlos Hyde. According to Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, Carlos Hyde, who's currently on the market right now and is close to potentially signing a minimum deal with a lot of incentives, might not even be a starter, was offered by the Houston Texans at the end of the season a two-year, $10 million deal. 2 years, $10 million offer for Carlos Hyde.
Right.
If this is true, based on what we see right now and based on what common sense shows us Carlos Hyde is going to eventually sign for and the opportunity he's going to get,
mm-hmm.
The fact that the Texans and Bill O'Brien offered Carlos Hyde this contract, and we don't have the specifics of it, but 2 years, $10 million, we can figure that out. You got to think it's at least half of that money guaranteed.
Right.
Based on that, there's tangible proof that they really don't have a grasp of the market in this specific example, and it makes you even question more the contracts that we've already been talking about with Kyahmi Fairbairn getting $2.5 million less than Justin Tucker over 4 years, with Randall Cobb being the second highest paid receiver this year, 1 year after signing a $5 million deal, with Eric Murray randomly getting a three-year $18 million deal. This right here is tangible proof that the Texans had no grasp of the running back market when they made this deal.
Yeah, it certainly points in that direction, because we can opine, if you will. We can give our opinion that you feel this way, I feel this way, I think Figgy feels this way, that the Texans are paying a lot more than market value for these players. I'm not talking about Carlos Hyde right now, okay? I'm talking about the other people that they brought in. You mentioned David Johnson. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil, we disagreed on that. We're not going there right now. I feel like you had to pay him, but still, he became the highest paid tackle in the NFL, and he's maybe the fifth or sixth best tackle in the NFL. Other players they brought in, Eric Murray, we feel that they've overpaid for him. But that's our opinion, right? Well, this is a piece of evidence that certainly bolsters that opinion. I mean, it's like that old math equation. If this is true, then this could be true as well. So if this is true, that the Texans offered Carlos Hyde way over what any other team in the NFL is going to offer him, and how do we know that? Because no other team has offered him anything more than the league minimum or the veteran minimum right there. So if it's true that they offered Carlos Hyde more than all 31 other teams, then it absolutely could be true that they are misplaying the market. And that's the evidence that we have to back up what were our opinions.
And I think the other questions that emerge from this, and again, you can read this on sportsradio610.com. It is the curious case of El Guapo, courtesy of yours truly. Question number one that emerges from this, J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't this be considered, and we just said it, tangible proof that the Texans do not grasp the market, at least when it comes to running backs? They have no grasp.
I'll go back to that.
I don't even think that's a question. I think that's just that right there. If it's true that they offered him this deal based on what we see right now, they misevaluated the market.
Said.
Exactly.
If we see it now and we know it, 31 other teams didn't come close to what the Texans did, then it could be true that they're misplaying the market. Absolutely.
Question number two. If the Texans liked Hyde this much, then why not wait it out? If you thought enough of Carlos Hyde to give him a two-year, $10 million deal, which he wasn't going to get on this open market, which he's going to have to settle for way less, if you thought that much of Carlos Hyde, then why not wait it out? We've had multiple NFL players come on these airwaves, from Wade Smith, from Ross Tucker, from James E. Hedebo, from Stanford Routes, even media types like myself and you. We've wondered if Bill O'Brien, the general manager, also known as King Bill, has a problem with patience. You didn't wait it out with Jadeveon Clowney. You let him hit the market. You were actually right about his value, but you just traded him for pennies on the dollar, and you weren't patient in that process. DeAndre Hopkins wanted a new contract. You said you didn't want to give him the contract. It's impossible to hold out these days in the NFL. So you punted on that.
Yeah.
You didn't show patience. If you like Carlos Hyde this much, if you truly like Carlos Hyde enough to make him your starting running back a few months ago and offer him 2 years, $10 million, way above market value for Carlos Hyde.
Right.
But you basically traded a guy you were going to cut to acquire from the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was probably going to get cut by the Chiefs as well. If you liked him that much, then why didn't you wait it out and let the process play out? Is there a patience problem with general manager Bill O'Brien?
I think both things are true. This is one of those examples that I always like to point out, that both things can be true. Bill O'Brien does have a patience problem, and we have evidence of that as well, as you just pointed out. But it also could be true that they kind of did him a solid here. A lot of general managers do that. They didn't have immediate plans for Carlos Hyde. They were going to go in another direction. So they kind of, and maybe his agent had something to do with it, but they kind of did him a solid here and let him go ahead and play the market sooner rather than later.
0061 on the text line. Shout out to the Loopholes for your contributions. If you listen, you are a Loophole. We love you very much. We will let you sound off throughout the show as well as on the Think Tank at 1240. Isn't Hyde dumb for not signing the deal? Yes, it's a dumb decision by Carlos Hyde not to take this deal. That's a fact. Like, if Carlos Hyde could have this back, he would have signed that deal. So the foolishness of Carlos Hyde not to accept it, absolutely. But I'm looking at this from a perspective of the Texans organization. But yes, Carlos Hyde was very foolish not to sign it. But the Texans, it's just interesting that they offered it. And the most intriguing questions are yet to come.
Let me qualify that. I think in retrospect, yes, he was dumb for not signing it. But in the moment, he's sitting there going, and so is his agent, going, man, the Texans just offered us 2 years, $10 million. I'm going to play this market. I mean, he was betting on himself, as a lot of us often do.
But you're Carlos Hyde.
I understand that. But the Texans just offered him 2 years, $10 million. So he's like, well, what would other teams, you know, offer? Because these, by the way, these contract terms get out. I mean, other teams, other agents know what the Texans offered, Hyde well before we do. So I think it comes down to this. He bet on himself and he lost. I'm not going to say he was dumb for not signing it. In retrospect, yes. But he bet on himself and he lost.
Question number three in the curious case of El Guapo. Was David Johnson a backup plan? We know the Texans ended up acquiring David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins. They took back his $10 million contract. Mm-hmm. They also are paying him a guaranteed $1.5 million, whether he's on the roster or not, in 2021. If you offered Carlos Hyde a few months ago a contract, does that mean David Johnson was a backup plan? Now, on the other hand, the Texans could say, we didn't know David Johnson was going to be available.
Sure.
Which is a problem because everybody knows, and I actually put a link to the stories in coming out of Arizona. Everybody that follows the league close enough knew that because the Cardinals had traded for Kenyon Drake early in the season, because David Johnson had been benched for Kenyon Drake, because there was another running back, Allen Edmonds, who was more of a part of the offense than David Johnson late in the season, and Johnson had the contract that he has, everybody that follows the NFL knew David Johnson was going to be available. Now, maybe the Texans fell in love with David Johnson during the evaluation process. Maybe they realized that they needed to look for another running back. They put on the tape of David Johnson, and they fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. That's possible. But was he a backup plan? And were they surprised he was on the market? Either one of those is somewhat troubling, but the thing that's the most troubling is if they loved David Johnson this whole time, they should have been able to anticipate that David Johnson was going to be on the market.
On this one, I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to say that we don't know. We don't know enough about that. They might have had their...
Well, then tell me what would make me feel better.
Tell me
what would make me feel better about this, because you offer Hyde the deal. If he takes it, you're not bringing in David Johnson.
Right. I don't know if I can offer anything that would make you feel
from
better.
From a Texans perspective, make me feel better.
All I'm saying, I can't, because I don't like the David Johnson deal either in terms of making him a running back. What I'm saying is this might have – you say a backup plan, it might have just been the next plan because they didn't get Carlos Hyde. All of a sudden, they're in the market to trade DeAndre Hopkins, and they're like, all right, what do we like there? So they might have had their eye on another running back from another team, and either that deal didn't happen – or whatever, you know, that player didn't become available. So I think there's just not enough information on this one.
There's not really a scenario that makes me feel much better.
No, there isn't. No.
That's the problem.
I can't help you.
Yeah, so
I can't help you.
I can give them. Maybe they just randomly fell in love with David Johnson when they clearly evaluated him more and they thought he was a possibility. But they should have A, known that he was a potential target if they always liked him.
Yeah.
And B, if you like him that much, why offer Hyde? Final question in the curious case of El Guapo, what would the Hopkins trade have looked like if Johnson hadn't been a part of it? So let's say that Carlos Hyde agrees to a 2-year, $10 million deal, and you mm-hmm. want to trade DeAndre Hopkins. What does that trade look like? Because David Johnson's most likely not going to be a part of it. You're not going to pay Carlos Hyde and bring back David Johnson. Texans are already investing the third most in the league to running backs just with Johnson and with Duke Johnson. So it's hard to imagine that they would have traded for Johnson had they had Carlos Hyde. What does that trade look like? And did they just like Johnson so much that they had to have him and they had to pay that price? or was this just a desperate attempt to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins where you would take whatever they threw your way? What would the trade have looked like?
Dude, if they like Johnson that much, then we got bigger problems. Because I really feel like they decided to trade DeAndre Hopkins well before they decided that they wanted David Johnson. They wanted to trade DeAndre Hopkins, and they were looking for their best deal, you know? So what would the trade of, let's say that they kept Carlos Hyde, he signed the deal. It was a buyer's market, you know? And so it would have been a player in the same vein as David Johnson. Let me ask you this. Could they have traded DeAndre Hopkins for Tim Jernigan, who they got? Obviously, other, like for a defensive lineman. I'm just saying, like, for a defense.
For another D lineman?
No, no. Before they did all that stuff, you know, could they? Would
I mean,
they?
I hope not.
Right.
That would be worse. Right. I mean, that would be bad.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. Maybe they get more draft compensation.
What I'm saying is they wouldn't have gotten – I mean, there was a buyer's market, so they weren't going to get a big return.
I have no idea what exactly was going on, but the one thing I do know is of all the moves that have been made, the move that they tried to make was the most confusing. SportsRadio610.com, the curious case of El Guapo, an NBA playoff proposal. I got one for John Lopez. I don't know if he's going to like it or not, but I can promise you this idea will intrigue a lot of you, a lot of the loopholes. I think it's perfect, but I'm a little bit biased. But I'm a little bit biased. NBA playoff proposal next.
Perfect.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Localize It. Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're getting a lot of reaction on the curious case of El Guapo. We'll get back into it. We're also going to ask Wade Smith about it at 1 o'clock. So keep it locked here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Woj of ESPN, he breaks all of the NBA news. And he was asked about the NBA's plans moving forward. We are going to have a season. It's just a matter of how that season's going to begin. Do you start the playoffs immediately? Do you have to make it worth all 30 teams? Does you have to make it worthwhile for all them for the process to begin? Here's Woj talking about the NBA's plan to get back on the court.
What is the format and structure going to look like? Are all 30 teams going to be brought back? Are there going to be regular seasons? Will there be a play-in tournament leading into the playoffs? How many teams would be in a playoff tournament? Will there be a best of seven series in each round, etc.? And those meetings are ongoing this week.
I'm really torn about this. Because sometimes you just have to do what is right for the league, right? And I know more than anything, these leagues want money and they need money. And I respect that and I hope they get all their money back. I hope the players get all their money back. I hope we all get all our money back.
It's nice of you, John.
Thank you. I mean, I'm just trying to make sure people understand. I'm not trying to paralyze any league here. But do you think, let me put it this way. Do you think the NBA will start in 10 days? Do you think 10 days from today we're going to have...
I don't know, John.
...a tip-off?
I don't know, John.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. I think they're going to have the two-week training camp, and then they're going to try to resume games in mid-June. I think mid-June is probably the target date, and then July is when they'll try to ramp up the playoffs.
Right, because that's kind of my point. 10 days from today is June 1st.
Okay.
So you will still be...
I'll say 25 days is probably the goal. They're going to try to get guys back, two-week camp... is what they're reporting, and then they're going to try to get it going.
So my point on that is, as much as I want it, you want it. At this point, if they have any NBA at all, it's going to have to be like a one month playoff.
Now they can play longer, and then they can start the next season later.
Because
they're talking about playing in Disneyland, and they're talking about playing in Las Vegas. They're talking about two places, and they're talking about starting next season later. That's what they're
25
discussing.
Days from now is June 19th or what? 20th, I believe.
Okay. So you don't think the season's going to happen? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm going to tell you. Don't take that grin off your face. I'm not backing down
just
from
give
anything.
It to me. Just give it
I'm
to
not,
me.
I'm just setting it up for you. 25 days from now is June 18th or 19th, I believe, if my math is correct in my head. But it's right in that area. So you're saying they could start June 19th. That's a Friday night. And play a full NBA playoff?
I don't know what they're going to do.
You know how long an NBA playoff lasts?
Well, I mean, they're not going to have the games as spread out as they usually would. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I do know that they're going to have quite an audience. I mean, they're going to have quite an audience, and they're probably going to start the season later. I mean, I think the season's going to start a couple months later. I think next season might actually start on Christmas. We could see NBA. We could see the NBA starting Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think they're going to push back the start of next season.
Now that, and then I agree with that.
That's what I see happening.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That it should start then, but then you're shortening the season, or you're extending it into football every year, and you don't want to do that.
That's fine.
What I'm getting at is the obvious, and that's why you were smiling. They should. I'm starting to believe they should not play this NBA season.
Okay, here we go.
They should not play this NBA
here
season.
We go.
I'm just being honest.
He's doing a McLean on us. He's doing the McLean.
I don't want it. I'm just saying what should be.
With a capital.
Here is Vandermeer was actually on with Sean and Seth, and he did his impression of John McLean. He should have done a little bit of a Lopez, put a little Hispanic flair on it. This is what happens with the Lopez and McLeans when you start talking about seasons coming back.
Every time I talk to him, I want to, you know, pretty much light myself on fire because he's so negative about it. Well, there's no way they're going to play all the preseason games, and how are they going to do this, and how are they going to do that?
John, you're turning into McLean.
No, I'm not. I think it's a reasonable
thing. The two legends are turning into each other.
I think it's absolutely reasonable. And I'm qualifying it. I said from the very beginning, I don't want this. Who wants not to watch NBA playoffs? I mean, you and I grew up on NBA as much as football. I love that dang sport, man. All I'm saying is if it's a two-month playoff, which at minimum, the NBA goes 2 months on their playoff. So they start June 19th. You're playing in August? You're playing at the end of August?
Why not? Why not?
I mean, you got the NBA going on. You got baseball going on. You're gonna end.
They should do that every year.
You're gonna play till August and then start in December.
In normal years, what do we call August in this business? We call it the dark days of August.
I agree.
Why would the NBA not want to capitalize on that time period?
Because here's why. So then you're gonna have to affect next year's season too. Because if you start in August, clearly,
year's season starting later.
You're not gonna restart in October.
No, they're gonna start in December
because you got the Players Association.
They're pushing it back 2 months.
Okay, so then when do you catch up? Because if you start in December, then you're doing it all over again that year.
You're going to go
August. Less than 82 games?
You're going to go December to August.
So is everything
changing? Instead of
October
to June.
Because if you were to tell me right now.
That's what you're doing. You're moving it back from when you normally start in October now. Now you're going to start in December, and you're going to go into August instead of ending in June or July.
Okay.
I think this is going to be an adjustment for the NBA. I think the dark days of August are going to be dead because of this.
Okay, if you're telling me this is a permanent move.
Yes.
Well, then I could sign up for that.
Yeah, permanent. I think this is an adjustment.
What
I think
I'm
this
saying
is smart.
No. If they're saying this is a permanent move and they're starting on Christmas every year, I'm good with that.
That's what they should do.
That's
what they should have been doing to begin with.
What I'm saying, though, is I don't think they're going to do that.
Do you know how much, how irrelevant the start of the season is in October?
Yes, I do.
Like, it sneaks up on you. We work in this business. We follow every effing thing that they say in the NBA.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's October. Hey, the Rockets are in camp. They open the season next week in October. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, football's just started. Baseball playoffs are beginning. Like, the beginning of their season is buried. Like, it is buried like a mofo. Move it to December. Play into August, because when August comes around, NFL training camps haven't started, and it's the, quote, dark days of August during the 162 game, the traditional 162
right.
game MLB season, where people are saying, damn, this thing's long. You have the spotlight there in August, and then in December, as the NFL playoffs are starting, your season's beginning, so you create that buzz, and you build the momentum up when football ends. Absolutely, John. I think they should adjust to this and start in from December to August every single year.
How are you excuse me.
You're going to talk about the Olympics now?
No. How are you going to deal with salary cap shrinking and salaries going down? Because their playoff ratings.
It's not my problem.
Their playoff ratings are not going to be that good.
It's not my problem.
Their playoff ratings are not going to be as good as they are in June.
Well, this
simply
year
because
they will.
Of college football.
Well,
this year they will, but over the course of time, their playoff ratings are going to go down because of college football, baseball, and the NFL.
Their playoff ratings have been going down anyways. But
right.
But not. Why would their playoff ratings go down if they're starting in July and August?
Just simply because football's ramping up. Everybody's in turns
That's
into football
camp,
mode.
Though. I don't think playoff ratings are actually going to go up. Playoff ratings
no.
are going to go up.
If
your playoffs are in August, July, and July, your playoff ratings are actually going to go up.
I think they're going to go down. I think they're going to go down significantly over the course
You're
of time.
You're telling me if right now there were NBA playoffs going on right now that the ratings would drop?
Well, right now it's May. August? Right now is when they go on.
But starting in June, July, August, like you're telling me in July, August that the ratings would
I think
go
July
down?
Might be okay, but August it starts to ramp down because of
you
football.
You don't watch training camp at 7.
People would rather get
people pay attention to it, but you're still going to turn on the ball game at 7.
I don't know. I think the ratings are going to be affected.
I think it's going to be I think if they make this adjustment, the NBA is going to be very, 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 very good. I disagree with you there, but I do have a proposal for right now.
Okay.
Those are permanent changes. For right now, how the NBA should resume, how they should resume their season. And we can discuss the length of each series, but I have a proposal that will make every game exciting.
Okay.
It will provide us with a unique NBA playoffs. And I think this is something that I might be able to convince you.
Okay.
This is the NBA right now. First of all, I would love to just start the playoffs as is. I would love to just bring back the playoffs and say, if you're a top 8 seed team in the West, a top 8 in the East, then let's just start the playoffs. Let's do traditional playoffs. Maybe you have to shorten each series, but that would be my idea as of right now. However, I know that's not going to happen. And I know it's in the best interest of the NBA, capital N, capital B, capital A, the best interest of the NBA to have every team back and have every team playing relevant basketball. You don't want to bring back these teams at the bottom and say, all right, guys, you're just going to come here. You're going to play some regular season games. It doesn't matter. You're just killing time, blah, blah, blah. This is my proposal, John. You play a regular season, however long that regular season is, who knows? You finish off the regular season. Let's say it's 8 games.
Okay.
Let's say that you play 8 games of regular season
basketball.
But
everybody has to play.
Everybody's playing 8 games of regular season basketball. The top 15 teams by record, and this has nothing to do with East and West, in the entire league,
NBA.
The top 15 teams in the NBA automatically make the playoffs.
Okay.
You make the playoffs. Your spot is safe if you are one of the top 15 teams in the NBA. Right now, the 15th best team in the NBA by record is the Brooklyn Nets, who are 30-34. They would be in, and they would be safe.
They'd be the 15th team.
They'd be good. However, all of the remaining teams would play in a play-in tournament. A play-in tournament, which means there would be the other 15 teams would play in the tournament. One team would get a bye. So there is a benefit to having that 16 seed or being the 16th best team. There would be a play-in tournament after that, and that team would be the 8 seed in the NBA playoffs.
I could get down with that. I love a good play-in game, a good play-in tournament in this case. I also feel, what are the other teams doing while this play-in tournament is going on?
The other teams are getting ready for the playoffs.
Was it a one-game tournament?
It's a single elimination play-in tournament with the remaining 15 teams.
All right.
The remaining 15 teams.
So how long would
that
last?
It would last
2 weeks?
It would last about a week or two because you would play on Friday. And then you would probably play on Sunday, and then it would be the next week. The other teams would get the rest, and then the playoffs would begin very shortly after that.
I could get down with that. One more thing, getting back to your point on the NBA and permanently moving to December. I like the idea if it's permanent. I don't like it. I think you should end the season if you're trying to get back into October and getting back to a regular schedule. One more thought on that, though. How does this affect college basketball? Because their schedules would be so separated, it would affect the draft, it would affect draft combines, it would affect eligibility of players in terms of when they, because you got like March
Just
Madness,
have the draft later.
Okay, so March Madness ends, right?
Just have the draft later.
And then you have April, May, June, July, August, 5 months before the NBA season's even over, and then the draft in September.
It's the same thing as the NFL. NFL drafts in April, May, June, July, August, September, 5 months.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. You just have the draft later. I'm telling you, the play-in tournament with the 16, the team with the 16th best record.
I'm not sure I follow your math on this.
Just because, well, no, because you're going
to. It's 2 months after the Super Bowl is the NFL draft. This would be 5 months plus after the NBA Finals if you have it in September.
The NFL draft's in April, right?
Right. But what I'm saying, college basketball ends in March.
March.
That's 5 months to August. That's what I'm saying. How do you put those two things
together? Thank you
for
figuring that out. I have no idea. I'm worried about the kids. I'm not worried about college basketball.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they do. What you do. You got March. Figure that out. But I just think that a play-in tournament would be in the best interest. And I think if you give that 16 seed a bye, you're at least rewarding what would normally be a playoff berth. Now, you have to figure out how you're going to do the buys and everything like that, but you're still rewarding them, but they have to earn it. Let's think about this. Let's think about this play-in tournament that we have. So you have the team sitting there waiting for the playoffs. You know what's going to happen in this play-in tournament? And by the way, right now for the 15 spot, Brooklyn is currently there.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando's a half game back.
That's awesome.
Portland's two back. Sacramento's two back. And the Spurs are 2.5 back.
Yeah.
All of these teams will be battling it out for that 15 spot that makes you safe. The other thing about this play-in tournament, and just think about this, single elimination play-in tournament for the final spot. Think about this, John. Steph Curry's back. Draymond Green's back. So you'll have them trying to compete to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Zion in New Orleans competing to make the playoffs. You're going to have Popovich trying to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
This play-in tournament would be crazy.
No,
it would
like
add
that.
A complete different element. You've got to make it worthwhile for everyone else. Because let's be honest, a lot of these guys, a lot of these teams, they didn't give a rat's ass about regular season games even before the season was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give a damn about that even before then.
Right.
So just make it. You can figure out how to reward the buys. You might have to do multiple buys.
Sports Radio 610, run in.
All right, so I'm listening to you two guys map out the rest of the season. Well, I'm listening to Landry map it out. I'm listening to Lopez cancel it. And Landry, I've never seen anybody want to go through more rigmarole to arrive at a 16 seed. When you were trying to get with a woman back in the day, did you like to fumble through 15 sweaters before you touched her breast? Did you like to crab walk to go get a colonoscopy? My God, this is like a two-week process to get a team that's going to get fed to LeBron James in four games. It's a league where like three or four teams have a chance to win the championship, and you're creating this entire recipe to build a cake that's going to get dumped into a dumpster. My head hurts, and that's the bottom line, just Stone Cold said so.
Oh, my goodness.
Sean Pendergast bringing it.
He makes
there.
A good point.
He is right, but the whole point of it is, in a perfect world, I would love to have things play out. I would love to have just the playoffs. I would love to have that, but I don't think that's what they want to do. I think they want NBA cities. They want every NBA city to have something on the line. So this, while yes, in the big scheme of things, whoever wins this play-in tournament for the 16 seed is just going to get smoked out of the gym by Milwaukee. But it gives everyone something to play for, J-Lo.
Yeah, the two-week thing might be a bit much, but I do like the fact that every team would have a return and fans could enjoy it and all that. But my big thing is if you do this and it becomes a permanent thing, again, which I would be fine with every year starting in December. I think it would hurt their ratings later in the summer, but when football starts kicking up and up, attention turns to that. But if you make that decision, Landry, you're making like the epitome of a paradigm shifting change. You're changing everything we've ever known about the NBA.
Good.
Forever.
Good. Have you seen?
And that's a big decision.
Have you seen
to make.
The TV ratings before?
I understand.
This gets interest. Just this brief interest, and you can call it temporary. Just this brief interest, where all of a sudden you have fans in every city interested, just this can build over. Now, I think the season should start in December. College basketball, they can figure all that crap out. I think it should start in December. I also think they need to look very, very hard, the NBA more than anything, at how they decide how to draft guys. I don't know.
I'm open a can of worms. I'll tell you my theory.
You don't think
Daryl Morey himself,
you don't think there should be a draft?
Co-signed my theory on this.
You don't think there should be a draft at all?
Everything. It's very simple. We won't get into it right now, but I'll give you the parameters.
No, give it.
Daryl Morey himself, when I bounced it off of him, said that these are discussions that have been had, and he co-signed it. Eliminate the NBA draft completely. zero NBA draft. What you do, though, is you put an absolute hard cap on every NBA team. No fudging. You know, maybe there's some kind of luxury tax, but an absolute hard cap on every team. And then everybody coming out of college, everybody on the street, is a free agent. And so what it makes teams do is it makes them spend wisely. It rewards smart general managers. And if you're the number one blowback I get on this, pushback I get on this is, well, then everybody's going to play in L.A. or New York. No, absolutely not. Because L.A. and New York are going to have the same cap.
They're not going to have the bread.
They're going to have the same cap, hard cap, right, as Milwaukee and Orlando.
Oh, that's the last thing we need is NBA players teaming up. You already do that anyway.
No. So what I'm saying, hard cap eliminates that.
I'm being
that.
Sarcastic. Yeah. I'm saying, like, they already have that. Like, if right. teams want to, if oh, yeah, players exactly. play together, exactly. I mean, you already have that.
So let's say.
Let's not create that.
Let's say the next LeBron James is coming out. It's up to the Lakers to decide. And let's say their cap for these purposes is $200 million. It's up to them to decide whether he's worth $50 million a year. Then you got $150 million for the rest of your roster. Whereas Orlando might be saving its money because they see the next LeBron James coming up. They have more money to spend on him than the Lakers, so they get him.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. The good thing is we'll figure out what the NBA is going to do. They're talking about these playing games. That's my proposal. Thanks to Sean for coming in, the smack-off legend. Loopholes are absolutely loving that on the text line anytime Sean can weigh in. Before we get out of here, I'm gonna give you 45 seconds to sound off on something. Okay. I didn't want to do a whole segment on this because I agree 100% with you, but I'm just gonna give you the floor to sound off on something that you and I have both been talking about in show prep. Okay. Last Dance documentary. First of all, I don't know how radio hosts are still doing this. It's weird that it's still being discussed. But a Houston legend, Vernon Maxwell, among a few other Rockets fans, have mentioned that they feel disrespected that they were not a part of the Last Dance documentary. J-Lo, 45 seconds, sound off. Does Vernon Maxwell have a point or not?
This is so dumb and so insecure. I cannot believe that people are doing this still. Does Vernon Maxwell realize that the documentary was about, I don't know, the Bulls? The documentary was about the Chicago Bulls. If we did a documentary on the 90s Cowboys, are the San Diego Chargers or San Francisco 49ers, who were in the one Super Bowl that the Cowboys were not in? I'll say the Niners.
Well, the Niners at least crossed paths with the Cowboys. Like, the Bulls talked about, like, the documentary talked about the Magic and the Knicks.
Yeah.
Who they played those 2 years. Like, they talked about that.
Right. The Rockets weren't even on the radar. So the Cowboys won in 93, 94, and 95. The Niners won in 94. Is all of a sudden, you know, the Niners go, well, you know who won in 94, don't you? It wasn't the Cowboys, by God. What are you doing?
They didn't even cross paths. Like, it wasn't even a threat. Like, they talked about all of the teams that they actually faced.
Yes.
It would literally be like the Chargers.
It's
just making it. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And a lot of Rockets fans, I'm not generalizing, a lot of Rockets fans understand why they weren't in the documentary.
Right.
But there are some that are like, where are we at?
It's a vocal minority. Even in our industry, there's some that, you know, in our members of the media, they're ignoring the Rockets. Yes, they are ignoring the Rockets. Yes, they are. That's the only smart thing you've said. They're ignoring the Rockets. You know why? Because it's about the freaking Chicago Bulls.
It's the OG.
Jesus, Vernon.
Landry Locker.
And others.
With you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 6. Tim, one of the most important Texans has been cleared for action. And he spoke yesterday about one of the most controversial contracts King Bill handed out, as well as his new and former teammates. We'll hear from him next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.